Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Ezekiel chapter 42. Ezekiel 42, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then he brought me forth into the utter court, the way toward the north, and he brought me into the chamber that was over against the separate place, and which was before the building toward the north. Before the length of 100 cubits was the north door, and the breadth was 50 cubits. Over against the 20 cubits, which were for the inner court, and over against the pavement, which was for the utter court, was gallery against gallery in 3 stories. And before the chamber was a walk of 10 cubits, breadth inward, away of 1 cubit, and their doors toward the north. Now the upper chambers were shorter, for the galleries were higher than these, than the lower, and the middlemost of the building, for they were in 3 stories, but had not pillars as the pillars of the courts. Therefore the building was straitened more than the lowest and the middlemost from the ground. And the wall that was without, over against the chambers toward the utter court on the forepart of the chambers, the length thereof was 50 cubits. For the length of the chambers that were in the utter court was 50 cubits, and lo, before the temple were 100 cubits. And from under these chambers was the entry on the east side, as one goeth into them from the utter court. The chambers were in the thickness of the wall of the court toward the east, over against the separate place, and over against the building. And the way before them was like the appearance of the chambers which were toward the north, as long as they and as broad as they, and all their goings out were both according to their fashions and according to their doors. And according to the doors of the chambers that were toward the south was a door in the head of the way, even the way directly before the wall toward the east, as one entereth into them. And then said he unto me, the north chambers and the south chambers, which are before the separate place, they be holy chambers, where the priests that approach unto the Lord shall eat the most holy things. And there shall they lay the most holy things, and the meat offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, for the place is holy. When the priests enter therein, then shall they not go out of the holy place into the utter court, but there shall they lay their garments when they minister, for they are holy, and shall put on other garments, and shall approach to those things which are for the people. Now when he had made an end of the measuring of the inner house, he brought me forth toward the gate whose prospect is toward the east, and he measured it round about. He measured the east side with the measuring reed 500 reeds, with the measuring reed round about. He measured the north side 500 reeds, with the measuring reed round about. He measured the south side 500 reeds, with the measuring reed. He turned about to the west side and measured 500 reeds with the measuring reed. He measured it by the 4 sides. It had a wall round about 500 reeds long and 500 broad to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so more building details, more measurements, more architectural details, if you will, of this temple, this visionary temple that Ezekiel sees. There are, I think, some really interesting things said that are meant to apply to the church in our day. This is that visionary church of the New Testament. Remember that in chapter 43, Lord willing, this afternoon when we read that, we will see what we've been waiting for. The glory will return. And then in chapter 44, we'll see the person in whom it returns, the prince who comes in through the east gate. So this is a vision of the New Testament church given in terms that the Old Testament saints would have understood. All right, well, let's talk about the outer court versus the inner court. And godly commentators, and I'm inclined to agree with them, say that when we think of the church in the days of the New Testament, that we're not doing away with the understanding of a visible church and an invisible church. We're not doing away with that. There is a place within the confines of this 500-foot wall that is a place that is more profane and a place that is more holy. There's the inner court and the outer court. So within the visible church, we understand that there is indeed an expression of the church generally invisible, that while it remains invisible to us, we know where largely it is, where its habitation is. So that's the first point. The second point, interestingly, on that north side there, and by the way, the north side is always going to be indicative of the direction from which judgment came. Right? Remember Assyria, remember Babylon, when they came in to attack Israel, then Judah, and then Jerusalem, they always came from the north. So sometimes in Scripture, when you hear of the north side, you're thinking of the shady side, you know, the side of ease, where the sun isn't beating down on you. And then other times, when we're thinking of the north side, we're thinking of the place where judgment had come. And so when the people of God looked north in the Old Testament, often they looked north because judgment was threatening. So on the north side here, there's a, can I say it this way? There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. There's a way of 10 cubits wide and a way of 1 cubit wide. Interesting, isn't it? A way of 10 cubits and 1 cubit. And again, I think this is indicative that sometimes the church's way will seem in this world, when she looks to the north, it'll seem to be very broad. There will be peaceful days for the church. And then there will be other days where judgment will indeed come from the north, right? That judgment will come down upon her, that affliction will come, and her way will be very narrow at that time. It'll be 1 cubit. Now, I don't know if you understand 1 cubit or not, but I think if we're going to be consistent, we have to understand 1 cubit to be what we would understand a cubit normally to be, which was 24 widths of a finger, right? So somewhere around 18 to 20 inches. But then in this cubit, here in Ezekiel, we have added a span to it, haven't we? So it's 1 cubit plus a span, and that's the cubit that is used to make all of the measurements here in Ezekiel. Why? Because this is that New Testament, that great expansion of the church. Okay? And so that cubit is going to be about 2 feet, or just shy of 2 feet wide. And so could you imagine walking down a hallway that is 2 feet wide? Well, you know, maybe some of our little ones could walk through there with no trouble. I know somebody like me, I'd have to turn pretty much sideways to do that, right? So keep that in mind, that there are going to be days of the church where on that north side, in other words, in the shadow of judgment, some days we're going to have more peaceful days, and other days we're going to be more afflicted. More straightened, if you will. All right. The higher chambers and the lower chambers. And three stories, right? Now, first of all, notice how many chambers there are. There's a myriad. There's a whole bunch of them. So this church is going to be well furnished. But these are the chambers in which the priests minister. It is specifically said here. And so notice what happens. They're not made with pillars. They're stacked. You have the largest chamber on the bottom. The second chamber on top of that, but a bit smaller. And then the third chamber on top of that, but a bit smaller. And so it says that they're more straightened at the top than they are the middle and the bottom. So you have almost like a pyramidic function here, although it's not perhaps as pronounced as that. But what this tells me is most certainly, and especially this is the place where the ministers minister in the days of the New Testament. Ah, makes sense now, doesn't it? That we're not to be creative. That we're not to make up things out of whole cloth. That we stand on the shoulders of our brethren who have been our teachers from a long time ago. That as the building rises up, you don't see one chamber cantilevered over and hanging out here by itself. You don't see it saying, no, I can't be built on that. I must be built on my own pillar. You don't see that either. You see a stack, right? And it ascends upward. And as it goes upward, it actually comes inward a little bit so that there is a greater humility that comes with those of us in this age, say, who have stood on the shoulders of the giants that have come before us. Seems to me that that's at least one possible and good interpretation of that. Notice that those priests enter and they go not out of the holy place into the utter court with their holy garments on. Right? Well, that was exactly how the priests ministered in the Old Testament. And so this is an allusion to what went on in the days of the Old Testament when Aaron would come in, put off his street clothes, put on his priestly robes and minister, and then when he came out to meet the people, he would lay aside his priestly robes and put back on his street clothes and come out to minister to the people. And in between that, he would have to bathe. And so this says, doesn't it, that the ministers of the gospel, the teachers of the church, that they ought to do those same kinds of things, that moral element that is being talked about there. That they don't pollute themselves or the holy place with their street clothes. That they don't bring the doctrines and commandments of men into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they minister in those holy garments and then they proceed from that. And when they go back into the world, they go as witnesses. So it's I think that's a very strong allusion there to what's going on in the ministry. All right, so then finally we come to 15 through 20. We have the expansive dimensions given as an indication of the size and success of the temple complex in the days of Messiah. Note that holiness is much expanded. It's not a small place any longer where things are holy to the Lord, but a place of great size. So if you count like 22, 23, 24 inches per cubit, that each reed has that right amount of cubits, and you do the math, this is a place of 826 acres approximately. Well, obviously, that's not intended to be taken literally. It's intended, however, to be understood that the place of God's holiness in the days of the New Testament is not confined to a 20 by 10 curtain building. It's intended to be understood as being expansive over the entire world, that where the Lord is preached, like we said last week, where Christ is seen in his full mediatorial regalia, that's where the house of God is. Okay? So then, not Hengstenberg, Greenhill cites five things with regard to this 500 by 500 dimension. I thought they were very good. So, here they are in rapid fire. First of all, the immensity. The immensity. Second, stability and firmness. 500 by 500 by 500 by 500. Right? Why are things built in squares like that? Because they are stable. Stability and firmness. Thirdly, luster and beauty. Every dimension is just right, perfect, well proportioned. The church is a place of the beauty of holiness. Fourth, the walls are secure, so there is a place of safety. Remember those chambers, some of them were even in the walls, right? The walls were 50 cubits thick, and in the walls were these places of safety. And then finally, sanctity, that it is all the holy place where the Lord dwells. With that then, let's stand and continue praying.